President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for, we'll say, the next hour on this January the 26th on the West Coast. If you're on the East Coast or in the Central Time Zone, then you know it is the early morning hour, just a couple of minutes after 1 o'clock on the 27th. So nice to have you with us this evening. I had the great opportunity once again tonight to appear as a guest on Rick Adams' Uncensored Radio Free America on Republic Broadcasting Network, and we may have some listeners from that show on RBN. I was actually interviewed, though, not by Rick Adams, who was just on our show last Thursday, but by Dr. Qasem Khalil, who actually is going to be my guest this Wednesday. And because of a little scheduling snafu, really, I want to talk about the snafu. It's very important that we realize what's going on sometimes with those of us who are bringing a certain message to you. We go through quite a bit just to research the data that we share, the information. Hopefully, we open your eyes to some things that are going on. And it's not as easy as you may think. We don't get paid for the work we do. Some solicit contributions. I haven't done that. I may have to sometime, and hopefully after having proven that there is some value in the material that we bring out, you would support me if I asked you. But I'm not asking you to support me. I'm going to share some information with you because I had Mr. Walter J. Burian scheduled for tonight's show, and he had to email me on the 24th of January to inform me. Actually, he called and then said that he would be sending something in the email. In the meantime, he directed me to his website, and he said, read what I posted on my website. It's a reason for my call. I'm going to have to decline the Monday show. And I asked him why, if there was an emergency or a problem that I might be able to help him with, he could be on the show. And he said, well, he said, they're disconnecting my internet, my phone service. You see, I live in a recreational vehicle. And I rent a space 4 or 5 days out of the week. Usually, I guess he does it Monday through Friday. And this way he has communication, and then he's forced, because of what it costs to stay at that place and pay for that service, he drives out into the country, or let's say out into the outskirts of town on dirt roads usually, and parks there, and that's his home. And this is a man who has established what we know as CAFR1.com on the internet. It is a site which goes into the Consolidated Annual Financial Report, which is a little-known document that actually shows how we are being bankrupted, how the government and all the agencies and special interest groups actually benefit from all the money that we pay into the tax base, and things that are voted into bond issues, and on and on and on. It's very detailed. What I like about Walter's work, and several people have called in both to RBN when I was a guest on a show, or they've called into Evident Footprints to share with me their opinion that my research is, in a way, paralleling Walter Burian's. Now, that's quite a compliment. I don't know that it is, other than I see similarities. I think Walter is researching and bringing forth the information about what's going on all the way across the board in terms of government financial reports. I'm more or less looking at the specific evidence that shows that that's going on. So he's talking about the fact that they have these bureaucratic programs designed to get their fingers into the pot and take money. I'm sort of discovering how they're taking the money. So Walter's work actually fits pretty well with what I'm doing, but I would in no way consider myself the expert he is. He's worked in the stock markets. He's been on Wall Street. He knows the games they play. But what he found out after he left that business was far, far more than what he knew was going on. He may have experienced the results of all the different methods they use to pocket money, but he didn't find those out until he left the business. And he doesn't even have to say that. If you read his work, you will know that this man absolutely knows what he's talking about. And I would say not 50% or 75% or even 99.9%. 100%. He's right on target. Walter is in a situation now because he needs, and he has no idea that I'm talking about this tonight, I can guarantee you. He requires to stay online $600 a month. Now, how that equates to the population of the United States, and I think this is kind of an interesting equation I'm going to give you here. It's very simple math. We have just round off our population to 300 million people. Walter needs $600 a month just to keep his website and his internet and his phone working so that he can receive millions and millions of documents a year from people around the country. If all of those 300 million were to, or let's say this, we only need 500,000 people to compare to one. In other words, out of 300 million people, if one in 500,000 people were to give Walter a dollar, he could stay online. That's one in every half million, or let's round it off, two people per million in our population would give Walter a dollar, he could stay online for a month. Now, it's kind of interesting. He's asking for money throughout the year to support his cause and this is all of this involving keeping his CAFR online, answering your phone calls, returning faxes or sending faxes and receiving emails and responding to your emails, advising you as a professional would. You would pay hundreds of dollars an hour or thousands of dollars a year to get the kind of consulting Walter Burian could give you. And he's been basically giving this for free, and I have to tell you, even I wasn't a contributor. I didn't know that he was in that state, and I guess we take this for granted, that we go to these websites and take the information, and we ignore the donate buttons. Yet, if someone uses that donate feature and puts out the kind of information Walter Burian puts out, he's honest. And he really has to have that support to keep delivering the message. He doesn't work for the government. He points that out. And the amount of money that is being reported by Walter puts him at the top end of the poverty list. He survives on food stamps. And he mentioned to me he has some puppies. I don't know if he rescued these puppies or what, but he said, you know, my situation is so dire, and he was sort of being tongue-in-cheek, but there's a bit of seriousness in the statement. I could be my puppy's last meal. That's how bad the situation is, Don. If I had the support, I would gladly come on the show, so I regret to tell you that I can't. And I'll tell you, I felt helpless, and I sat down and I wrote a letter to some close friends in the business, researchers, talk show hosts, and I'm thinking from some questions that I was asked that some people are going to help Walter out. And I can assure you that I did. As soon as I made that known to these people, I considered I was going to have to set the example and be the first. And I don't tell you that to brag about it. I'm telling you that's how serious this is. Now, we could take someone who's in a dire situation right now and catapult them into a place of power because of some of the things that Walter's going to do. So Walter didn't ask me to ask you to do this, but I think it's quite evident, if you understood this message, that tonight's guest couldn't be here because he couldn't afford to be. Because he couldn't pay for the privilege of being on this show. Then you will find something in your heart to help him out. And I'm not asking you to do anything beyond your means. If you feel that you can do something, every little bit counts. That's all I can say. Walter was short $250. So he had to move. And he's not only doesn't have communications, he's out living on a dirt road somewhere. And it's not because he deserves that or because he chooses that. It happens to be the situation because he's chosen to take even a higher road than that. And he's doing that for his country. So with that said, I want to ask you if you are interested in helping Walter Burian, and he does not know I'm doing this, I can guarantee you that, then please go to cafr1.com/DNT, that's a capital DNT, .html. Or if you just go to the CAFR1.com website, you will find the donate button there. Let's show Walter that we appreciate his work. Definitely, while you're there, read some of his work. And with that, I have actually surprise guest. He's scheduled to be on this coming Wednesday, two nights from now. But because of the nature of what we discussed on RBN, and there's never enough time, even in a two-hour show, to cover everything, we brought him on Evident Footprints. And he's going to grace us again with his presence and his knowledge and his wisdom. And he's an author of a book, Wrongly Blamed, that really is applicable to what we're going to talk about tonight. And its relationship to how our country is being destroyed financially. We're going to stay on the topic that Walter Burian covers. But we're also going to show how this relates to 9-1-1 and many other things that are happening today, even this current election that we had. With that, I would like to bring my good friend, Dr. Qasem Khalil, back to Evident Footprints tonight.
Hello, Mr. John. I'm on the website now, and I'll start out by giving you a check for $100 when you come see me. So just, I don't like to really brag about giving, but we'll at least get that started because it's worth it just to see his front page. Let me tell you what he said here.
Yeah.
You know, he just put it so simple. He said the number one profit makers for the secret government, I'll just insert that, on their investments, and so therefore they're going to maintain that situation, is war weapons, oil, petrochemical pharmaceuticals, banking. And so all the corruption that you're finding is either in the pharmaceuticals and the vaccines, in terms of things that hurt Americans, the oil, the war, dragging American kids to get killed, and then they kill others. And then, of course, the banking thing you've been covering. So it's pretty simply made there, a case made on his website that would stimulate us all to think differently. And what this stimulates me to think is, let's get rid of that system because we should be making money on energy conservation and then shipping those equipment all over the world. In other words, we are the big inventors in America.
Yeah.
Exporting computer technology, exporting goods, and then we would be wealthy. They bankrupted us with this model. So, enough said.
Yeah, and you know, at the end of this document that he wrote, he has a very interesting concept to develop a tax-free society. And he talks about paying into a taxable retirement fund. In other words, you pay into the system, and in 8 years, you're vested.
Oh.
And then ultimately, it would create a totally tax-free society. And he says that the government already knows that that can be done because they work their investments that way for the past 65 years.
Hmm.
Okay?
Interesting.
Now,
interesting.
Obviously, the that information, by the way, is at taxretirement.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just taxretirement.com. Anyone can go there. I don't suggest you leave VBS while you're listening to the show.
No.
But for your reference.
Well, I think the bottom line is that obviously he's an economist that's looking at this differently. He also knows about the 911 conspiracy. I see he spoke at a 911 conference. And when you have a freedom seeker like that, we can't allow that to be silenced.
Yes.
He's been on the Power Hour. He's been on your show. He's well known.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's, he's pointed out that a dog catcher is making probably close to three times what he's getting. And we know how well most dog catchers are.
Yeah.
There are some good ones out there. But,
sure. Well, you can't make any money with a website as such. So... it's interesting that, like you said, we benefit from these sites, and we take the information, we take the ideas, but we don't give anything back. So I found one idea so motivating, I'm going to donate. So.
Yeah, well, thank you, Dr. K, and I'm sure he'll appreciate that. And, that puts us... I mean, he's there. He's got what he needs to get.
Well, he's got $100 from me. I'll guarantee that. So we'll start with that, and we'll see how it all develops. But this isn't a fundraiser. This is going to be an information show. And you've been doing quite a bit of research on the financial corruption. I've always said that the usurious system, which Christ Jesus came, he tried to destroy that. And Prophet Muhammad knocked it out for quite a long time. And, of course, that was the wealthiest kingdom of all time was the caliphate. It was, the Alibaba thing was real. People had so much wealth, and they didn't have a 30% tax or anything like that, So.
Well, yeah, it's been pretty much that way throughout history. Now,
but then if the Jews get all the money, there's not even a legitimate state tax. If there was a government tax that took the money, then put it back into industry, but it's all taken by the Jewish banker cartel. So it's not even a tax.
Mm-hmm. People aren't aware of that, are they?
No, it's offshore. Does Burian cover the fact that this is an offshore entity that is illegal?
Yeah, he gets into the aspect of the funds. Yes, he knows that they're doing this offshore. Now, I intended to delve into that particular aspect on the basis of the Basel II agreement and the fact that we are supposed to be on a gold standard. This is per the Basel II agreement. So you're seeing the chaos in the world you're having right before your eyes because they're not complying with that. And we're really, we've lost all stature with any of the foreign banks, any of the foreign economies, too.
I was told by Barclays Bank in England that they do not like working with the U.S. economy. And they will not loan money to American nationals. And they quit doing business with America. So it's not just that that these Jewish bankers do this, but they've literally alienated the world from doing any business with this country. With their Patriot Act, with their onerous attempt to undermine us, so they can keep this facade of the war of terror on. And we can't even do any commerce. We can't do a wire transfer. We can't draw out money. We can't do any business without somebody snooping on us.
Yes. Now, Dr. K, you know what I've said about what's going on, like in the real estate market and the long-range goal of what's going on here. I had the opportunity today to look at a listing of a house. Someone had told me that there was a house for sale, and it was just the description they were reading from the newspaper ad that told me that someone had, a bank had seized this property, and it was likely a sheriff's sale. This was from the newspaper ad. Just the, it's got brand new floors, it's got brand new this, it's got brand new that. It's like a brand new house, although the house is probably 40 years old, maybe 50 years old. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it had some renovation done to it. And I actually Googled the address, and the property came up on a sheriff's auction from an international bank. Okay. And you see, LaSalle Bank, which is a Chicago bank.
Yeah.
And then you see, Deutsche Bank, which is a German bank. In fact, it means German bank.
Sure.
So, and Wells Fargo, you see the companies that are in all of these scams and these scandals, Ponzi schemes that are going on.
Sure.
Through the computers. And this is the type of thing that Walter's talking about, how the monies are going into these accounts. He's not necessarily describing the method like I just did. Although he knows HUD is corrupt, and he mentions that.
Yeah.
And he goes in, you know, in a two-hour video where the guy is just talking about what's going on with this money.
Yeah.
It blows your mind.
Yeah.
And it's criminal.
Well, it is criminal. You know what? It's always been a robbery thing. The Spaniards, first of all, the Chinese had made landfall in the Americas before. The black Africans had done so in the 9th century at the minimum, perhaps earlier. We know about the Norwegians. Nobody, you know, plundered America until the Spaniards came, and they plundered it. They didn't come to convert the people or to bring, you know, religion. So once they did that, it's never stopped. They've always had this tentacles on the United States. The natives also were plundered. And the American people, back when Roosevelt, who was a Zionist agent and who was very closely associated with very powerful Jewish influence, he comes in, and the first thing he does is nationalize the money. He takes away the gold and the silver. And people were quite wealthy. They had their silver dollars. They had their gold coins. They had the money in their hands. He took it all, you know. And and so there has not been a wealthy America ever since the, you know, turn of the century. It's always been a bankrupt country. It wouldn't be difficult to convert it, but you have to get rid of the Jewish bankers. I'm just going to tell you a solution why. You have to purge them out of the system. There's no way that this country will ever have any wealth as long as they establish this system of usury. Now, I don't know the mechanism of what you're finding, but how does the system of usury play into what you're now seeing in the crumbling of the United States?
Well, when they give credit to people who can't afford credit, and they charge... In some cases, it's in the 30th percentile, and when you really calculate that, what an annual percentage rate is and what it amounts to at the end of a contract, which in some cases, the minimum payment on $1,000 at JCPenney at 19%, 19.2, whatever that percentile is, or maybe it's 19.7%, darn close to 20. It takes 22 years to pay the minimum payment.
Now,
so
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take that long to pay off a house. No. So it shows you what
the minimum
usury
payment
credit
on a miserable $1,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
22
so then
years.
So all that wealth is then taken offshore. None of it's brought back to the country.
Well, now again, they're getting participants, you know, because of the bailout, they got their hands on $8.5 trillion plus, not $850 billion.
Mm-hmm.
It's already up to $8.5 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, these trips to North Korea, do you think, what are they doing? Are they talking about the next missile they're going to test, or are they money laundering?
Right. Would be money processing.
And probably talking about the next missile too.
Yeah.
You know,
well, no, I think you're more correct there. Another environment is, as you know, is Turkey, because the international jury has some power there. And really, it all goes back to the international jury. They're the ones who've set up the Federal Reserve. They just did. They then established this method of usury, which Jesus himself, you know, I don't want to beat the horse too much to dead, but he went in there and he tried to crush that. And you're just never going to have any wealth in the United States. Now, if you get rid of the usurious system, and the public rebels and throws out the criminals, this country will be so wealthy within 5 years it'll be wealthier than the whole world put together. That's the only way it's going to happen. And
mm-hmm.
Now, but what you have done is you've been diligently seeing how they launder the money, and you know, how is that being done?
You know, I have the feeling I'm the guest. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm kidding you. You are such a great host. You see, you've all of a sudden become the host. I just got a note that we've got a caller online, but we're going to ask Ron to hold for a couple of more minutes so we can complete this aspect of our discussion. To answer your question, Dr. K, what they're actually doing, and they're doing this in many places, you have funds, and these could be anything from bonds to college loans to monies that are available to the community, programs such as parks departments or EPA-related situations where they want to restore or maintain natural environments like wetlands and forests and the like.
Yeah.
And these entities have a cash value in the projects that they're involved in, and whether they're working on a project or they're trying to make that project available, ultimately that really doesn't cost any money. If it's a usury system, why are they going to charge themselves, right?
Yeah.
They're controlling the government. So they get the government to generate money under the auspice that this is needed to pay a landowner or to make this feasible, and they come up with all kinds of things that they tell us about, but do they keep records?
No.
Likely not. Or if they do, they launder the records, so they're a bit difficult to track. But what they do is they take these funds and they pool them in trusts. And they acquire, without our knowledge, a real estate that generates paperwork. And now that paperwork and the value of that real estate is worth something. So they borrow, they leverage that money against speculation.
Mm.
And they get as much as 40-to-1 return on this money, because there's such a massive amount of it, down to the local level, the county level, the state level, and the federal level. And it's who's ever in these pools that's making the money. These are judges, they're attorneys, and of course Congress and the Senate are attorneys.
Yeah.
As are all the other people or the majority of the people. Everything's based on the law, so they control the law. And it's administrative law. We're not looking at constitutional law. The interest is commercial. This is big business making big money. And they're stealing our public funds. They steal from the schools.
Incredible.
They steal from cemetery funds.
What do they do with the money once they get this exorbitant?
They launder it and they steal property. They steal property from people who they've criminally impoverished through the courts. People who, or through the prison system,
Yeah.
Or just outright theft, or, you know, they set people up. They do everything under the sun you can imagine. And they do this with the Internet. They document this on the Internet. Hmm. You've seen some of that research that I've done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am I crazy, or are they doing
you know, I'm not a finance guy, so that's why I switched the tables on here today. If you ask me questions, I'm doomed.
Yeah, but that's really, you know, it's really not that complex. I'm not a finance guy either.
Yeah.
But from looking at it and really digging for the truth, finding the answer was difficult, but once I found it, I understood what it was.
Didn't you find something about Zockheim, what he did with those trillions as far as the mechanism?
Well, the mechanism is multi-tiered. I mean, we could do a three-hour show on that, but yes,
but
the answer
is part
yes.
of that, is it? I mean,
it's all interrelated, okay? Can we take a call from Ron, Dr.
Sure.
K? Would you like to take a call
from him? That's fine, yeah.
Okay, Ron in Pennsylvania, welcome to Evident Footprints. Well, Ron from Pennsylvania, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
okay,
hi, Ron.
How you doing?
Give us, Jeff, I can't hear him.
Am I coming in okay?
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
All right. Good evening. What can we do for you?
Okay, a couple of quick things, and then I'll depart to leave room for other callers. I tried to phone in earlier in the evening when you were on the Rick Adams show, and nobody ever picked up the phone. Did you guys have phone trouble?
It's possible. The lines were pretty jammed.
Yeah, that leads into something else. The discussion over the last couple of days in various programs, people are saying that nobody is getting information out, nobody's dealing with the Zionistic problem. Well, I'm one guy that is. And what I did was, I'm with the phone, I'm leading into something that I have threw together very quickly about a 74-page book, which essentially showed the Gaza killing fields, the maps of the area, who confiscated what and when at what time with the UN, and also a treatise of about 25 pages of Jack Bernstein, which I think you know. And that's about a 75-page booklet to give anybody a basic and thorough understanding exactly what is going on with the Zionists, without getting into the religious aspect of it, which I deliberately left out.
Yeah, just a human issue. Yeah, sure.
What I wanted was real-time stuff to show them what's going on. Well, a fellow on another talk program, a host, wanted a copy of the book, and I sent it to him. I don't think he got it yet, although it was sent one day after Plagiarist Day on the 20th or 21st, Martin Luther King Day. And he should have certainly had it by now. Well, preceding that, I have a copy of about 130-some page book here, and in part, it's the actual telegram between Roosevelt and Adolf Hitler just before World War II, plus a whole lot of maps, and half of it's in German. It was printed by a German publishing company. Now, when the war started, those guys packed up and shut the shop down, and they went over to Germany because things weren't too good over here for German citizens as they were with the Japanese. But I don't speak German, and the software packages really don't do that much as far as translation, so I'm going to work on getting it translated. But the wealth of information in both of the books that I had mentioned is very much worthwhile. Now, I've had extreme interest in the book that I threw together, even from young girls. They're really enthralled by it, except with some of the battlefield scenes, but I had no choice. I didn't want to do that. I had to show it actually as it happened.
Yeah.
So now, you know, they're spellbound, they're looking at this, and they had no idea whatsoever what's going on. I says, well, watch the local news, and you'll see nothing except basketball and volleyball and maybe sewing.
That's so true.
I said, if you really want to get this stuff, I turn them on to the websites. But anyway, the fellow that had the 140-page book, let's say, which I have a copy of here, asked for a $10 donation for his work. I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah.
So I sent two checks down, neither of which were cashed, down to a southern state. Well, this book that I made up also went to the same state, and I don't know if it got there. So I emailed a friend of mine who lives in the northern part of the country, and he happens to be real good friends with this author. They're both fellow countrymen. He's contacting him to find out what's going on with the check. Well, to sum everything up, as we work on the internet and do things like this to get going and to get the truth out there, it's very possible that things may be compromised, like the mail system.
Sure.
And I know the mail people get really ugly with thefts. But if there is some Jew behind the scenes that says, don't send it down, I'm going to start a little bit of investigation tomorrow. I'm going to launch some things.
There's a lot of spies that have infiltrated every level of the country. And, I mean, for example, when we started doing these programs, I had an espionage operative that's very well known. I won't even mention his name. He's a big talk show host who tried to undermine the Rick Adams show. He tried to take Rick Adams away just as soon as I started doing Rick's show. He tried to destroy his relationship with Statmiller. There was a big fight between this individual and Statmiller.
Uh-huh.
It was an attempt to shut this very information down. When we started doing these shows, someone broke into my house, or where the place I live here, where I do quite a bit of my shows from, and they attempted to leave something. They didn't take anything. So we're trying to figure out what in God's name they left in here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I would say to you that as soon as you start doing this work, that you do have to keep your eyes peeled and pay attention to those details. Don, anything that you would like to add? I mean, you're the host, so.
You're totally correct. Ron, ich kann ein bisschen Deutsch sprechen. Also, willst du mich etwas geben? Ich kann das lesen und translieren.
Nein, sprechen Sie Deutsch. No.
I speak enough that you could send it to me and I could read it and tell you if I could translate it or make sure, that someone actually would do that for us. We do have connections with translators.
Don, don't you get the impression that they don't want it to become mainstream that Hitler was part Jewish and that he's a Rothschild, Rockefeller,
mm-hmm.
That he was put into power by New York? Do you get that impression that they're trying to stop that?
Yeah, and of course they're trying to stop it. I mean, that's why I do this show, to counter that,
you know.
That's why Ron called in.
You've heard of the Japanese name Sony, correct? Everybody has.
Standard Oil of New York.
That's right. That's just what I was. I told one of our engineers that, and he laughed, and he said, yeah, he was over in Japan on some classified projects. In amongst a number of jobs I had, I did work in the laser optic field for a short period of time. There's all kind of stuff going on there, but that's not the subject of the call. But anyway, if anybody would enter my house when I am home, there's a problem with them. If they enter it when I'm not here, they would never find anything because this place looks like it took an airstrike, and I keep it that way purposely. I can't even find the stuff.
I would love to see your 70-page manuscript. And
there's two different ones here. There's one from this author, who is a German, and there's one from me I hurriedly composed, and I can run both off again, and maybe I had to mail one of each to both of you.
And I'll trade you with some of my books,
Okay, your address, mailing address, both on the website. I can get Dr. Khalil's another
well,
way.
Well, yeah, let's. If you have email, just email me, okay? My contact information.
Yes, I do have that.
Okay. Send me an email and we'll arrange for that.
Okay, one more thing and I'll close about the CAFR. And I never knew this for a long time. But anyway, about a year or two ago, if somebody had $8,000 in credit card debt, made all of their minimum payments without fail, the bill would be satisfied in 42 years.
My goodness.
Mm.
Now, the CAFRs, Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, are supposed to show every legal penny in and out that actually exists. A budget, which we hear on television news all the time, this borough or this town or municipality, well, we don't have the budget for that. We don't have the budget for that. We only have this budgeted. They mislead the public.
Mm-hmm.
The budget is actually what they want to spend, not what they have at their disposal. The CAFRs show you what they're supposed to have at their disposal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
That's how they lie to you.
Ron, I want to add one thing to what you were, you know, I didn't know that Sony stood for that, but what I did know was that they, when they conquered Japan, then the Rockefeller Rothschild cartel went in and used the cheap labor, and then they brought in American experts to create the auto industry. So they, and all the other industries, electronics, they actually own a great swath of that power in Japan. And everybody thinks it's a Japanese miracle, but it was American experts that were under the tutelage of these powers that, you know, and so if General Motors goes down and from, it's only the Americans that get hurt because those automakers are tied to the bankers again.
You know, Pennsylvania, believe it or not, at one time, because of the steel and the coal industry here and a lot of the industry being developed, Pennsylvania had more patents than anybody in the world.
I know.
And technology is unbelievable. Now, there's some things that don't get patented. Certain types of weaponry, certain types of technology, just don't do that.
Yeah.
Because the Chinese, there's films out where they just go to the Patent and Trademark Office. They had their three-piece suits on and go in, and they start in about 8 o'clock in the morning, and they're not out of there till supper time,
sure.
And they have searched and rifled every patent they can get their hands on.
Yeah.
So if I am working on something and invent something, which I had in the past but never patented it, a guy in NASA, I get NASA tech briefs in the mail, he came out with the same thing I was thinking of one night 4 years later. So I learned my lesson from that one and just never bothered with it. But
well, Ron,
you just don't patent it, that's all.
Yeah, Ron, we want to get back to this topic. Although you are talking about money, you know, we want to get more into the area of the government and stuff. And
CAFRs are supposed to be public documents available for scrutiny to anybody who want to see them. One would
think
so.
Well, Walter's got videos out on the web, and his website's got a lot of the written material. Ron, thanks for calling in, and do call in again.
Take care.
Okay. See, Dr. K, I mean, there are people out there that know what's going on, that see what's going on, and are willing to share the information.
Yeah.
The fact that this is suppressed shows us that we're on the right track, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. So much ingenuity is, without the United States and its independent thinking and its industrious people, the whole world wouldn't be the same. And why not move towards making that a free society without the leeches, and to do more like what Walter Berian's doing, any system like that, I don't care what it is, but anything but the usurious system. Everybody should quit using their credit cards unless they can pay for everything, just use it as a piece of convenience. Everybody should try to get out of the interest system immediately in every way they can.
Yes. Now, another thing, Dr. K, because you had asked me, and I was, you know, I was joking about you being the host. You know, I'd never make you the host of my show. No, I'm just kidding.
I know, but it's crazy.
You had asked me, you know, what it is that they're doing, okay? And I'm basically describing in a very general way that they're taking public funds and then they're laundering it into secret real estate transactions. Where do you think these foreclosures are going? You know, if people are losing their homes, who is getting the homes, you see?
Uh-huh.
And so there's an aspect of this where there were some pretty well-known people involved in this. I mean, this goes all the way to the top on the basis of my research. And this is before we had a foreigner, an alien, an illegal alien, become president of the United States.
Yeah.
But the way the oath was delivered, I would say, and under the fraudulent circumstances that the individual took office,
sure,
he's only the president of the administrative branch of the United States, the capitalized United States of America.
Well, isn't it interesting that he obstructed that oath and then they made it out like it was the Supreme Justice's blunder? His throat looked like some kind of an alien or something attacked his throat. And, I mean, you can see visibly his Adam's apple and everything's kind of quivering and he's finished. He's not even... But you have to believe in something to take an oath. And then somehow, secretly, the next day, there was an oath that we were told in front of five reporters and five White House officials. You're absolutely right. This is a rule of... It's actually a coup.
Yeah, it's a
not
coup.
A bloodless coup, because the World Trade Center, you know.
Well, and what's going on overseas, too. We've got soldiers giving up their lives and their health and their families for this.
Yeah.
Now, part of what I was going to say now... having said, you know, specifically what they're doing, and I can go into lots of detail with that, but that's what I'm writing about, because it really requires, you know, the entire information for somebody to be able to follow it. But I would ask the listening audience out there, and you, Dr. K, in your own town, do you notice that there's some people there that seem to have come from someplace else, just out of nowhere? And they've risen to positions within the community where some are mayors, some are city councilmen or aldermen, depending on where in the country you live. Some are county commissioners. Some even move up to state levels in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
And these people just appeared all of a sudden.
I've noticed that. I hate to say it, but a lot of Oriental and Russian-speaking people, I've noticed, but...
well, these are foreign intelligence agents being brought in. You see, these people are working for the intelligence agencies, and they're running it, and they're making sure it's being run the way they want it run. This is all being orchestrated simultaneously all across the country. And all you have to do is question this guy that came into your town, built a shopping center, bought a big house, built some apartments, started owning the grocery store and all the body shops, and then built a school and is voted man of the year, entrepreneur of the year, and then the next thing you know, he's running a factory, and this goes on, and all his buddies are doing the work with him.
That's that laundered money, then.
Yeah. This
is
infiltration, okay? Or you know how I like to call them now, infiltrators.
Yeah, sure.
These are people that are breaking our laws, and they've condoned to do that, and they're stealing money left and right. And you see, people in a town, people who grow up there, don't have the guts to do that.
No,
they don't have the couth to do that.
No, they don't. It's true. It's true. American people are a decent lot, you know. And this Israeli Revenue Service. Remember, we were talking about you touted that. This is the crime of the whole century, that this is imposed upon us under the threat of imprisonment and, you know, federal chains on your legs and disappearance into a secret prison. And everybody just falls apart. You can understand why, you know, it's frightful as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just, to me... a revolutionary people, and I see the American people as the only revolutionary lot that there is left. You see a little bit of that in the Palestinians. They said, we're going to overcome, with the little girl's legs blown off. She says, we're going to win this. Yes, the oppressed do it, but as far as a society of intellect, there's a ton of it right here. We heard from Ron, our police officer. We heard from all these people who've studied 911 and who've rebuffed the official story bravely. And now we're seeing it here in the financial community with your research and your support for Burian.
Well, yeah, Ron gave us some specifics about this, and, you know, they're valid. I would, you know, one show I'd really like to get into that, because it's happening to musicians, you know, music composers, people that are producing their music as a means of giving themselves employment and doing what they love. And it's been hijacked. It got hijacked by these really powerful corporations that set up subsidiaries. Now, he mentioned Sony. There came a time, and what came to mind was Columbia Records. Columbia Records used to be owned by CBS, Columbia Broadcasting Corporation.
Yes.
Okay, they love that name, Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and CBS owned that company, and at one point they even bought Steinway, the Steinway Piano Company, and they ruined the Steinway piano totally for
it's
5 years.
It's incredible. It's beyond incredible.
And then Steinway became Steinway again, got away from them, and then they were bought out by Sony. And I remember a story that when that occurred, there was even a point where the president of Sony was bought out for $12 million.
Yeah.
By somebody, I believe, from Australia. I don't remember the name. I stopped following, being in the music business, imagine. I stopped following.
Our national industries and have been purged and contaminated.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting about CBS is William Paley, who owns CBS, he was heavily involved in the Kennedy assassination.
Wow.
So these people
Would that go back to a Jewish terrorism, would it not? Because they didn't.
Yeah.
Kennedy said, I'm going to shut down Dimona, the nuclear plant.
Yeah.
I think it was 2 weeks after he came out against that, he was dead. Yeah.
Yeah. So we, you know, and he had reinstated the gold and silver standard, and that they didn't want to happen.
Everybody loved the guy. You know, all of our problems are from the Israeli entity and its criminal usurious banks, brazenly, where is it, in Tel Aviv, it has the picture of the Masonite, you know, triangle and the ugly eye, and this evil has eaten America down to its bones, you know, and it's, I guess the mechanism of it is what you're revealing. It's so complex to me, but you're finding these proofs.
Well, you know, it's like Walter System. He can explain it in one sentence. Walter Burian, who we brought up at the top of the show. Walter says that if you pay into a 25% tax for 8 years, now that's less than what most people are paying today, but if you pay that tax for 8 years, you become vested, and at the moment you become vested, that portion of the community is now vested until you get everybody vested, and then there's no tax.
Wow.
That's pretty simple.
Wow.
We have been going through this for over 100 years. And
well,
I'm not just counting when they instated the Federal Reserve in 1913. I'm talking about when they infiltrated the country. And that's pretty much from the beginning, really.
Yeah.
You could go 250 years.
Sure, you can. You can.
Yeah.
It looks to me like they have owned and controlled the United States from a, you know, financial point of view, and that what I don't understand is, what do you do about it?
How many of them are doing it?
It's got to be just a handful of people, isn't it?
Well, you've got Congress and the Senate that are permitting it, right?
Yeah.
You've got all the people that run the major bureaucracies that are involved in it. There are a lot of people there, but, you know, we have 300 million people in this country. How many of the central banks are there? How many people are running those, okay? You're not talking about really that many people.
No.
Maybe around the world it's a total, if I said 10,000 people, that may be way too many.
Yeah, I agree with you. 5,000 people are controlling our, you know, our minds and our souls.
How long are we going to allow that many people do that?
I don't think we're going to let it happen anymore. There's too many Rons and too many, you know, Mr. Dons and Mr., you know, Khalils out there that are tired of it. And you know, the whole world is really sort of in a bankruptcy state. And what do they do in that International Monetary Fund. If they see a country they target, they loan them money, and then the country quickly becomes insolvent. Isn't that what's happened to Argentina, to Brazil? It's quite incredible. Countries with that much wealth generation are bankrupt or are in debt to the international bankers.
Mm-hmm. Now considering, and this is one of these Zen thoughts, okay? I'm thinking outside the box, like solution-oriented. Would you agree that the fiat money system is an illusion?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you agree that the usury credit system is an illusion?
Definitely.
Okay. Then it becoming destroyed or it becoming worthless, wouldn't that be an illusion too?
Yes.
Okay, so why do we put value on the economy at all? Whether it's succeeding or whether it's a failure, why do we even recognize it?
Very good point. We should just ignore it. That's a reasonable theoretical assessment. And we could do that by doing business between each other.
Yes.
As a people.
Or we could follow Walter Burian's method, and, you know, he talks about doing this town by town.
This is smart, then. We could use his system, maybe with some modifications, maybe, maybe not, and we could start our own town. Miss Judy says she wants to get an island, but an island's too easy to conquer, so we decided on, but I think the town's a good idea. You know, and all of a sudden that town would be a model because it would be a filthy rich, as they say. And then everybody else is going to going to fall in line. Overnight. I mean, just think about the cooperative power of America during the turn of the century, in the industrial age. And these extreme wealth that some people achieve, certainly, but let's just say that the community comes up with an invention and people pool their assets and their energy and they put that invention into production. We heard from Ron about all the patents in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you export that globally. You bring in a few billion dollars to the community. It's not only realistic, I can see it happening, you know? And it's real money, yeah. Backed by gold, whatever, silver, copper.
Now, the reason I stated that, Dr. K, here we are 7 years after 9/11, we're in our eighth year now, and most people still are saying, oh, you know, the 19 Arab hijackers, because that's being propagandized on the media 24/7.
Sure.
And they have to come out with a story, fabricate a reason to bring it up. So they have five people at Guantanamo, which Obama says he's going to shut down. He has no right to shut it down.
Yeah.
He has no right being the president.
That's
Let's remember
right.
that
That's
when
right.
we hear that statement, you see.
Yeah.
It's not what he's going to do. It's not about his commemorative coins, his commemorative plates. Everything is selling idolatry to us. Let's wake up to that fact.
That's right.
And let's do what we're saying here and create something new. It comes back to us, what, taking our responsibility.
Well, it does. And you see, here's what the Patriot Movement is. I don't even want to talk about that because they bought into the same model. They somehow thought they were free. They somehow thought that George Washington was the people's man. They somehow think that John Madison is, they have no idea that the same system that's got its tentacles on their skulls now was there in 17, whatever it was. And so you're saying what I'm saying, and that is a new way of, finally break the chain of this tyrant.
Yeah. Now, what gives him power? Money. What is money? We already agreed it's an illusion, right?
Yeah, sure.
So they have illusory power. So why don't we use real power? Why don't we use who we really are?
That is the answer. That is the answer, because who we are is the power.
And isn't it a coincidence that they have to disguise who they are? They have to do this through secret means and secret societies and in a perverted way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And illegally.
Sure. Sure.
Isn't that a dichotomy?
You couldn't get a bigger dichotomy. You have an illusionary system, and in order to impose it, they do it in a cloaked fashion, through deception. And then they try to make us out like we're stupid. Well, we're not. We're obviously intelligent people because they put a fraud on us and we figured it out. You know?
Yeah.
We didn't wait for somebody from Africa or, say, Poland or someplace to come here and say, you stupid Americans, they put a coup on you. We figured it out. We figured it out that the Federal Reserve is a fraud. We figured it out that the revolutionary people are Masonics, and they were part of the system, you know. So they were allowed to achieve this. We figured it out that Britain rules this country to this day by proxy, you know?
Yes.
We know who the tyrants are. I love what you said. I'm just absolutely enthralled about this not giving it any power, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm using outside the box thinking in one sense, but also I'm applying what I found in my research to what I'm describing here too.
What was that?
Well, when you see everything is a fraud, do we just allow it to keep being a fraud, or do we recognize that it's a fraud and choose another path? It's insanity to do anything else.
Yeah, you discover it, then you basically you just ignore it, and you build around that. You know. And
yeah, it's almost like we're ignoring the problem, and we're in denial about the problem, and somehow our denial is what's going to make it go away or have it not affect us.
Yeah, denial is an enemy for sure. I suppose there's no way to wake up without realizing it. And, I mean, but you do have to do it outside the box, because everybody's tried to go head to head to this and they've not succeeded. So obviously there's a different way to do it.
Yeah. You know, I've had discussions, Dr. K, with Michael St. Clair on this show, and he recommended that we take this responsibility, that we become aware, and that we really don't give them their due. We're honoring these people for an illusion, right?
Yes, true.
We're afraid of them because of an illusion.
That's true.
We're afraid of the illusion.
It's true. It's absolutely true. It's wrong to be afraid. To be afraid of what? No.
Yes.
The illusion's got to be afraid. The fraud is afraid. Is the policeman afraid, or the criminal? The criminal's putting all sorts of, you know, barriers and disguises. He's afraid. Yeah? Not the person who's just and his heart is full of, you know, a thirst for right. He has nothing to be afraid of.
Yes. Yeah, and yet they keep... This is the point. They keep reminding us that this is so, that Barack Obama is loved, that we need health care, that women are going to be allowed to continue having abortions, and we're going to promote a gay society and make it dominant.
Yeah.
Not just allow it, but make it dominant. Give it prime importance that it is the only valid way to be. And
you know, I'm quite happy that this is a Christian society, okay? I'm quite happy that if the president would have said we're a majority Christian society, that wouldn't have bothered me. Instead, this guy comes up with some cockamamie thing. Everybody's gonna have And then you find out that
they have actually put a homosexual president and a homosexual secretary of state that you know for sure are homosexual. And now you have to wonder how many other ones you've got. And then you're going to have those people rule over a country of, can I just say, God-fearing people as a rule, okay? It's pretty bizarre if you think about it. I'm not trying to say A or B, but just think about it.
Uh-huh.
You know? He couldn't even say an oath. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that the ultimate Freudian slip that occurred?
Yes. I mean, he couldn't. God would not let him. God knows what kind of corruption this is. He wouldn't let him swear over Scripture or anything. Even the Constitution, he couldn't swear over it publicly in front of a God-fearing people.
It would have been his immediate undoing if he had done anything else.
I think so. You know,
he was sworn to do what happened. And that was another fraud perpetrated on us. Another one.
Beyond comprehension, really beyond comprehension, really. And I'm standing to you as a follower of the way of Abraham. I'm very happy if he would have sworn over the Scripture and said, I swear, it would have been his undoing, wouldn't it? You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yes, and I wanted to bring up another thing. I was hoping on your show tonight on RBN that we would have been able to talk about this, but we got so many calls, we couldn't talk about it.
I know.
And I'm getting email in real time here, and I'm going to respond to some of it in a moment, if you will allow me that discourtesy.
Oh, yeah.
Orly Tates, Dr. Orly Tates, who is a dentist and an attorney in California, has a case before the Supreme Court. They pulled it off the docket last week.
Yes, this was a big, huge thing. I mean, they destroyed, through electronic corruption, her file.
Yes.
It's a high, super high crime, you know.
Yes, and she's demanding an investigation of that from the Senate and the Congress. Now, watch what happens. See, the mainstream media is not reporting this at all, and we haven't really talked too much about her on my show. That's my fault, but I have referred to her on occasion. And I have talked with her, and she's concerned about the fact, first of all, there were 8 of 9 justices that showed up in the court. Samuel Alito was not present, Justice Samuel Alito. And I find it interesting that they could not hear her case, and yet we have an event that's going to occur on the 28th of this month in Cleveland. It's the Institute for American and Talmudic Law. And Justice Anton Scalia is going to speak there. Now, he can speak before that group, but he can't hear a case involving the president of the United States.
The Mossad met with their boy. And they said, if you show up, we'll tell everybody you're a pedophile. It's not too difficult to understand. And then you have the issue of the potential for a terrorist attack, my friends. Do you think that they're not considering that card? Oh. I hope that Ron puts his manuscript, I'll help him, into the whole world's hands if he sends me an email at drkresearch@hotmail.com. We're going to put a file together from our Palestinian activists and add to what you know. We have a very powerful file. I think our little ones in Gaza died for us in America. I don't think anything has awoken America as much as seeing those little babies killed. God.
Yes, and we're being lied to while this is happening. You know, the media is absolutely lying about why this is happening.
It's obvious you can't kill the little ones like that, no matter what.
The only reason is to evoke sympathy, and it's a perverted kind of sympathy. How the Israelis justify murdering of children, of babies and young children and women, has everything to do with wiping out the race. It's genocide.
Yeah.
What it is.
Yeah. Well, and
it really is.
It is, and well, we don't know how many little babies they shredded to smithereens in the World Trade Center. There had to be some in there. There was daycare in there. You know? And pregnant women, they didn't care. You know? Silverstein didn't have to dismantle the World Trade Center anymore, right? With that 13 to $20 billion estimated because the asbestos was there. You know, he just, and of course the federal government banned him from doing demolition, about 6 months or so before they blew it up? The court banned the Port Authority from its lawsuit. It was suing to allow itself to demolish the buildings. So they did it a different way.
Didn't he take out the insurance policies about 6 weeks before?
Yes.
Against the
double terrorist
attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wrote in the policy that if there's another attack on the other center, it's going to be treated as two separate insurables. Well, it's probably Rothschild owns the insurance company anyway, so what do they care? But, you know, they're ruthless. He sits there and lets those people die in that restaurant that he normally goes to. And his son and daughter, whatever, of course, they didn't get anything. And all his buddies, he warned, and Guniani said he knew the building was going to come down. But then they let the chaplain die and the fire chief dead and the fireman dead and the New York City's finest cops dead and wounded and injured and, you know.
And Dr. K, can you explain to me why the New York City police wouldn't investigate a 3,000-plus person murder?
Well, probably they think they'd end up dead on the streets. But they have a corruption problem that's rife in New York, and there's an indifference, unfortunately. The firemen came closer to wanting to raise their heads, but they threatened to remove their pensions and to isolate them and fire them, and oh God, they went through a lot. It's not gonna. Our police are our support, they're our backbone, but they need us. They need us to push them into high gear. You know, it's like a team, I think, at this point. Energy, and then it builds on itself. Yeah, but.
Yes, and on your show tonight, this is for our listening audience that didn't tune in to the broadcast at RBN. We brought up the issue of the spies, and we did also earlier when we were talking about the financial aspect of how laws are being created to direct the money, you know, into these coffers that end up in Wall Street and then in the offshore
account.
Homeland
Security, how much Israel has made with devices and knowing it was going to do the terror attack and therefore the electronical, you know, equipment and security they had built over there.
Yeah, they knew what was going to happen so they could hedge their bets that way.
All the puts were done by the Zionists. There were no common, you know, American, Christian, or whatever, Muslim, whatever, CEOs or workers that did it. All Israeli nationals that did these puts. All a foreign government did it. You know, and it's just filthy. It cannot get filthier. They even as they laughed and, look, those Americans got theirs, and then they take the money too, you know. And, I just, you know, as I look at Netanyahu and you see the picture of him with that eye and you know that the guy's a bloody murderer and you know that he's ruthlessly killed those babies and elderly people and beaten up little Palestinian older men picking their olive trees, he's beating them up with sticks. And then look at that brute and know that
even though this country has given to him and housed him and given him lecture space and treated him like he was some whatever, and he came here and murdered our people.
Used to be a big celebrity on TV. He used to be on Ted Koppel's Nightline.
He doesn't get on quite as much now, does he?
No. Yeah, and remember, wasn't he discredited somehow?
He was had his hands in the kitty over there, the Zionist state. That's why they had to, because he was corrupt. You know, he was taking bribes.
And then he came
there with
back.
His big stogie, and you come in with a suitcase full of cash, and he was doing that stuff.
And they waited a generation, didn't they? And then they brought him back.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. Yeah. They washed that situation. Yeah.
Well, you had raised the issue of Dov Zakheim, and of course, he and Mark Rich play heavily into the financial end of what's going on, I think, in relation to Israel and Iraq, Afghanistan, and if they get their way, Iran. And we know it's staged. There's no reason for anyone to go to war with Iran.
No.
Now, the media tries to justify that, just like they tried selling Barack Obama to us.
Oh, yeah.
Some of us are not buying it. Many are afraid to speak out, but it's an issue. He still hasn't proven who he is. I'm sorry.
No. Well, it's not going to go away. 9-1-1 is never going to go away. 9-1-1 is the doing in of the oppressors. They thought they were so smart. But like a dog on a bone. You might as well put super glue on that bone. The bone's not going anywhere. You know? Not going to stop. I swear to you, if it's the last thing I do, that thing's going to go somewhere. Yeah?
Yeah,
I cannot steal a piece of bubble gum. I mean, without getting into trouble. These individuals, foreign individuals, have this much power over us that they could come in here, steal bombs, plant the bombs in American infrastructure, blow the people up. It's beyond comprehension.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting that the plane that ended up with a missing nuke at Barksdale Air Force Base was the same destination of our president after he left the school for learning how to read your book upside down.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting. And then the same with that Graham, that Mossad agent that you checked out, that dentist that wrote a report saying that they were going to bomb the Barksdale. It was going to be a big terror attack on B-52s at the Barksdale.
Yeah.
So one wonders if that is where one of the nukes that was plotted, to sort of hit our military and then blame it on Muslims, I suppose. Is that perhaps one of the suspicions that was out there?
Yeah, if you think about Dr. Graham went before the Congress, didn't he? He testified before Congress, and they portrayed him to be a whistleblower.
Oh, that was a different Graham, though, wasn't it? Was that the Graham... It was another Graham that was whistleblowing against the FDA.
Yes,
but there was a dentist Graham that supposedly was poisoned. He said that that Muslims were going to hit Shreveport.
That's the one I'm referring to.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes, his family reported this to the media. The media reported it on their local station down there in that area of Louisiana. I presume it's a Shreveport station. Channel 3.
Yeah, that must be Shreveport, yeah.
Okay, the anchor said that the family disclosed that he had been poisoned. Now, since when does the family release the information to the media?
Yeah.
Isn't it the coroner or the police department or the sheriff or some authority?
That's true.
And could be a hospital.
Yeah, no, that's right. But we see a lot of that since 9-1-1 where the non-official official tells us what's coming down. Yeah.
Yeah. See, these are the things, folks, that we must pay attention to, how we're being presented this information, because we hear it by officialdom, the propaganda machine, which is owned by these very same people that we're discussing, who are stealing all this money, and they present it to us, and because you see it come out of a square box with a piece of glass on the front, that it's real.
And, you know, that's very intriguing that they would have had to have gotten together, the perpetrators that, you know, CNN and ABC and CBS, and sit somewhere in a non-infiltrated building, and then we're going to do this. We're going to get our Mossad associates are going to give us the films. They're going to Photoshop in, and then we'll Photoshop in the plane, and this is how we're going to do it, and then
well, that's the intelligence agencies tell them how to do that. Is how
that
goes down. The intelligence agencies actually tell them how to do it.
Oh, okay. They would have had to participate with those intelligence agents.
Yeah, I mean they're there monitoring what news is going to get out.
Because on the teleprompter they put terrorism meets America. Islamists hijack flight 11 and flight whatever 173, and then they slam those into the. And then while they're saying that on the teleprompter, they're interviewing a guy on the street. Says no plane, just a bomb. What? No plane? He said, I just told you, no plane, just a bomb. But there was a plane. He said, who said there was a plane? Well, we just heard on the news. They said, no, it was a bomb, not a plane. The building blew up. So that's what the guy is on the street saying, and then they're brainwashing us with the teleprompter.
Yes.
I mean, you can't just do that in 5 minutes after something happens. It's all, you know, months of planning, and, these guys are bad news.
Yeah. So if anybody out there bought the commemorative coins for Barack Obama, you own some coins of a man with no country.
Yeah.
That's about all you have.
Yeah.
And somebody's laughing all the way to the bank, too, because it's more idolatry. It's another way of creating an image, you see.
Yes,
but
it
people
is.
Don't see that.
I know. They don't see that it's idol worship, do they? And I told you that someone I know very well that is relatively close to me, suddenly, on Sunday night before the ignominious oration or whatever, and this person I work with gets a call from the Washington, D.C., saying we've got two tickets for you to come to the inauguration. And he's got work to do, you know, I'm relying on the guy, and he just jumps in the car and leaves. Oh, no, this is something very special. I have to go. And it just makes you wonder how threatened this, like you say, it's basically this house of cards is, that if anybody speaks out, oh, they got to monitor them. Oh, they got to check up on them. Oh, well, we got to think about whether or not it's time to put the arsenic on the toothbrush. You know, I mean, it's much weaker than you think it is. It's not as powerful as you think it is. It could be changed in a night if there was, you know, if we just believed in it.
As Michael St. Clair says, they are the ones that are controlled.
Yeah.
When you really look at it, they have to follow their protocol. They're in the Matrix. They've created the Matrix.
Yeah.
They are the Matrix.
They can't step outside of it.
They aren't that.
Did you ever hear Bill Clinton say, no, you're wrong. It was 19 hijackers, Arabs with box knives and, you know, razor blade cutters and cash sewn in the socks. And you hear these guys do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only, like you say, that's the only channel they can go down. No.
Well, hopefully we've enlightened some people tonight, or at least shown them what we see the truth and how it's developing in front of us, how it's revealing itself to us.
Yeah.
It's not us uncovering the truth. It's the truth sort of just shining through that darkness.
Yeah, and you don't know how powerful it is that you are. You just making a garden next year, buying a bit of an acreage, you know, getting your family, get their health up. Start using herbal medicines instead of the pharma. Quit injecting venereal viruses in your kids with these vaccines. Stop buying into the system. Shut off the TV. You know, make a document like our police officer and start giving it out. Share DVDs. Make a meeting, a town meeting, truth and justice meeting.
You know, that's a great idea. There are a lot of people out there, Dr. K, who have singular experiences, you know, in their own lives that are worth sharing with the rest of us. You know, we could compile a whole book's worth of stories, maybe an encyclopedia worth.
Oh, yeah.
All the things that are going on with people that maybe they think are not important. Maybe they've been so disempowered that they can't even get the message out to us. But I would have to think that there are some people out there listening that have been through something, and they could share that with us.
Oh, definitely. Yep. Remember that chap that called earlier, and he knew every detail about the Jewish mafia and how, you know, how much fraud they've committed, and he knew every name. And I mean, what a country of rebels, America. You know, we are a militant people. We were before. Do you think George Washington won the war? Or was the militants that kicked the people out? You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and we haven't really talked about your herbs or anything like that, but when we have
you
on
have to
the
get
show,
powerful. One of these days we'll tell people how to become powerful.
Well, let's do that on Wednesday when you come back to Evident Footprints as our featured guest for that night.
That sounds good.
And I appreciate you coming on tonight. And any last word you want to leave with our listeners before we say goodnight?
We're the only ones that can make change. And, you know, it's through our belief and the knowledge that we add to that. That's all. It's up to us. Nobody else. One person at a time. Mr. Don, I love you doing the shows with you, and I look forward to Wednesday when we'll be together, God willing, and we'll take care of people's health on Wednesday.
Okay, very good. I want to encourage folks to go to Dr. K's website, knowledgehousepublishers.com, order his book, Wrongly Blamed.
That's a lifesaver. I had one guy come up to me, and he said, you know, Dr. K, the best that I could figure was that they were right, that the Israelis warned us and our CIA was doofus. They were at least good enough to warn us, and maybe they knew in advance. But when I finished your book, oh, my God, I realized who really did it. I realized that our CIA as such, our FBI as it is, couldn't have done this, you know? And if you think about it, if the CIA and the FBI by themselves did it, and they're culpable, I mean, they've made so many crimes in this thing, somebody would have known about it. Our police officer knows this. This was done not by them, but by a secret society. And that's got to come to an end. Thanks a lot, Don, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Dr. K. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Dr. K will return on Wednesday, the 28th. That's just in 2 nights, so be sure to tune in. I would like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, along with Ron in Pennsylvania. You have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.